All right. Let's get right into it. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Maddie.
Our annual Halloween special. I was reminiscing. We did one time a Halloween three-parter of The Exorcist. We did 1, 2, and 3, and then a Halloween special. We were very busy. I think it was 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. I don't remember, but we're always busy on Halloween. We've been super busy personally, which is why you haven't heard from us in a while, but we had to drop this special Halloween edition. We're recording this on Halloween Eve, dropping it for you all on Halloween. Are you ready for Halloween this year, Tony? Where do you stand?
Oh, I'm always ready. I'm particularly ready this year. I really need it this year. I need a little break from the actual horrors of the world to fake fantasy horrors that are so much more comforting.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very ready.
Well said. Well, this year, I've mentioned it on the podcast before. If you're a regular P4Per, you know that my street has a Halloween parade that has become like my favorite thing of the year. It's grown in size. People from other neighborhoods are now coming to it. We closed down our street, which is a dead end anyway, but kids parade down. I have an adult table with beers for the adults, treats for the adults, and then treats for the kids on another table. It's become so much fun. We had to miss it this year, but for good reason, because we visited my son Max up at college. It was parents' weekend this past week.
Oh, okay.
I was bummed to miss it.
I'm sure you were. I'm surprised. So they don't have it on Halloween. So what kind of a celebration is that?
Yeah, right. Well, I guess Tuesday night this year. So tough for the little ones, you know what I mean?
Everything's a compromise, but you got to stick to the traditions. They're there for a reason. You celebrate off day, maybe that annoys some spirits. I don't know.
This is what you get. I remember, was it last year you were up in Westchester? And
yeah.
There was a band playing and everything.
Oh, yeah. We go up to hang out with my mom on Halloween, which is crazy, but her neighborhood is like yours, kind of an amazing epicenter of like people fly in. They literally, somebody flew in from Florida that we met last year and they weren't in costume. They just came in. They were like, oh, this, they were like judging it. Like, oh, this is a really good one. And like, can we have candy? I'm like, you got to dress up to get any candy.
Well, my street parade is trending to become that one day. It's every year it gets bigger and bigger and more people. And I just have fallen in love with it. We're the last house on the left. Literally.
That ties in maybe with another subject later. That we're
about. Well, let's get to our subject. It's a Halloween special. So it's all Halloween, all themed. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to surprise you with a pop Halloween quiz, Tony, first of all. Then we're going to do our Halloween special topic, which is top three times you were scared in a theater. These are basically the top three for each of us, times where we were frightened the most in a movie theater. I have honorable mentions. I also have an at-home edition, basically movies that I was too young to see in the theater, so I wasn't scared in the theater, but basically scary scenes or things that I saw, maybe just I happened to miss and then saw at home. And I'm sure you have plenty of those as well. And then plans for next season, what it's going to entail. So this is a big one. Very excited. Tony, here we go. It's Halloween time, buddy.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah. You had asked me a question, Tony. What did you ask me?
I asked you what was too much horror. What was the movie that broke you that was just too much?
I'm trying to think. You're much more interesting to answer this question than me because I've probably got you can take a lot. So I'm interested.
I've seen
what
some
movies,
horrible stuff.
I know. What movies have made you kind of like go like, all right, that's good.
Okay. There's a German film called Angst that almost broke me, that I almost couldn't deal with, but it's also a really great movie. There's a lot of like really kind of cheesy movies are not really great movies that just rely on shock and horror. That isn't really the filmmaking doing it to you. But this movie, Angst, is both viscerally horrible to watch and also really well made. And it almost broke me. Another movie called Man Bites Dog, which isn't...
Oh, you've mentioned that.
Like paranormal, but it's definitely a creepy horror movie in a way. And man, does it go... It just goes to a place where you're... There's a scene where people like... generally turn it off. Nick just can't.
Let's see, I'm just writing down, don't ever rent either of those two
No, you don't
movies.
need that in your life. You don't need it.
No, I don't.
But I'm curious. There wasn't one specific movie you can name where you're just like, I don't know. Could be The Exorcist, man.
Yeah, no, there's moments to this day where I kind of find myself avoiding certain moments of that movie, definitely. Yeah,
yeah.
That's one of them. I remember I didn't pick it for one of my top three because it wasn't so much like what I was seeing on the screen, although that was a huge part of it. It's that story I've told before on the podcast, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, where I was going to leave the theater. I was like kind of getting up, like, I can't take this. I can't take this.
Yeah.
But there were other things going on behind me. And but
you,
like that.
Yeah, you so had issues with it. You had issues with it.
Yeah. So that scared the crap out of me. Oh, is this in my picks? Oh, well, in that same movie, she kind of does this early on. They come in the room. She's like frozen in this contorted position. Mm. And I was like, I might walk out. I don't know if I can do
that
this.
That was uncomfortable.
And it was early in the movie too. And it was like still light out. It was like, just, she was just frozen like that. I was like, oh God, this is going to be like, it felt like when you get on a roller coaster and you're kind of going up the hill, that first hill, and those doing those little clicks and you see the rest of the roller coaster, you go, I may have made a huge mistake here.
Exactly. That's exactly the thing I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll never rent those movies.
Don't do it.
It's good to know. All right. So let's get with our, I'm going to ruin your Halloween because I know how much you like to really think about these things. I sprung this on you last minute. This comes, Tony. It's just good old fashioned Halloween fun. There was a 30-day horror challenge posted by Rapid Fire and it kind of went viral. I kept seeing it on my feed. And what it was like 30 questions, one for each day of October. So I have picked 10 of them. They're all related to horror films. So I'm going to ask you these questions. I'll answer them too. I think this is a great little rapid fire pop quiz we can do with each other and to celebrate these Halloween horror movies. Are you ready?
Totally.
Okay, here we go. Favorite slasher film?
You first or me first?
We'll switch it up. You go first.
Okay. All right. Black Christmas. Ooh. Original Black Christmas.
I'm going with Halloween. Okay. Favorite horror film before 1960?
The original Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Ooh, that's a great one.
Which already been almost established.
Which we did on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Rear Window because that creeped me out, him watching the crime go on.
Great. Well, you can't go wrong. Oh, my God. It's great.
Favorite zombie film?
Go.
I'm going to go Shaun of the Dead.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
You don't consider that kind of cheating? No, it's not. It is a zombie film.
It is kind of cheating, but it's because you know why? I love that it's got comedic elements, but also scary elements too. It's kind of scary at times. So I think it's kind of
I don't
awesome.
Really mean that it's cheating, but it's a little bit cheating.
It's
but
a
it's
little
not.
Cheating.
Kinda. It's a real zombie movie though. And you're right. There's actually some scares in it.
What's your favorite zombie film?
I'm going to go for The Beyond by Lucio Fulci.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were going to pick Train to Busan. That's not
I it's pretty good. That one's pretty good, but I like that. I had to represent the crazy Italian 70s stuff that I love. So yeah.
Dig it.
The
All
Beyond.
Right. This is a tough one. They're all tough, but remember these are our favorites, not necessarily like the greatest, just your favorite, which is also hard to pick favorites, but okay. Favorite horror villain.
Dennis Hopper, Blue Velvet.
Ooh, great one. Gosh, I didn't even think of that in the horror genre, but you're right. Wow.
Well, it kind of, you know, it is and it isn't. But to me, it's this horror. I mean, David Lynch basically makes horror movies, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're super creepy. I'm going to go with Freddy because the one-liners, the comedic element just kills me. And you know what's funny? When we
you're not taking this seriously. This is.
I like comedy in my bloodshed. You know what's funny? We went back and watched that first one. I didn't really realize that those quips don't come till later. Like that first one, he has one or two little funny lines, but it's not like it became very campy, but that first one, he's not joking around.
Became very Schwarzenegger with the one-liners.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Favorite horror performance. Ooh, this one I agonized over.
Who'd you pick?
I went Ellen Burstyn in The Exorcist. I just can't think of anything that moves me more than her brokenness in that movie.
Amazing. That's a perfect answer. Shelley Duvall in The Shining.
Oh, guess what?
Similar,
that's what I was,
you know.
That's what I was tearing over. Like, I couldn't. Yeah. I just went, I'm going to go with Exorcist. Yeah, they're both just the best. Favorite horror movie score, Tony?
For me, I think, you know, it's Psycho. I think it's just got to be Psycho.
Yeah.
And runner up for me would be Suspiria. Mm. But, you know, I don't know how you beat Bernard Herrmann's Psycho. I just don't know how you do that.
You don't beat it. You maybe get something as good, but nothing better, we like to say. I'm going to go Halloween again. That's two Halloweens, I know, but I just can't think of any other theme that just when I hear it, it's just like, oh, it's Halloween. It's like the Rocky theme of you know, horror movies.
It's usually my ringtone, so I do love it.
Let's see, your favorite foreign language horror. I'm going to go with one that you turned me on to on a magical Halloween about 15 years ago. You told me to see this movie, and on this very night, Halloween Eve night, with my wife down cellar at my folks' old house, I watched Let the Right One In, and we both loved it. It was so much fun and such a great film. It'll always be special to me.
Ugh. Such a great film. Oh my God. Mm. You saw it. You didn't see it in the theater. I thought you saw it in the theater.
No, it was at home. I don't even know how. I guess back then you could rent it. Maybe 11, 12 years ago, something like that.
But the Blockbuster.
Yeah. I don't even know how we did it, but we did it and we watched it together and we just had a blast.
Nice.
Yeah. Such thank you for that, by the way. Still love that memory.
Can't stand that movie, but I'm glad you liked it. No, I love that movie. But my pick is a movie called Toby Dammit, or otherwise known as Never Bet the Devil Your Head, and it's actually a Fellini movie. He did as a short film in a combination with other films. It was a part of an Italian anthology of horror.
Huh.
And it's great. It's great. Short, 30 minutes, creepy as hell. Turn stamp. What's wrong with that?
Awesome. I got to look it up because I've never even heard of it. Okay, Tony, your favorite horror final scene in a horror movie. This is another tough one.
This is a tough one. Yeah. And you threw this at me pretty late. So but I think I got a good answer for myself. Right. I'm gonna have to say the last 15 minutes of Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
the last.
Wow.
Last. Sequence, that last part of that movie is perfection and horror, and I love it.
You know, I've been lampooned or made taken to task for my opinion on that film. I don't think it holds up that great. You've yelled at me before for my opinion on that, but
shame on you.
But I agree that that last sequence is as scary as it gets. And I'm gonna go, I hated to do it, but I just said there's nothing better to me. It's what comes to mind is it's Halloween. The shots of the scenes with nobody there is so inventive. And I don't know how many people had done it before him. I know tons of people have done it after him, John Carpenter, but just like those isolated shots of the porch, of the house, of the car, everywhere that the crime took place. I remember seeing it and just for the first time and just being like, I don't know why it's so effective, but it works.
It's great.
So wonderful.
It's really great. Yeah. I mean, you could also include the closet scene is one of the scariest. That's one of the scariest scenes in history. So that you could include that in the end of that too. And
absolutely.
I wouldn't mind that at all. That's great.
All right. Favorite horror death. I'm going to go with a movie that I have no feeling for it really. Like, I didn't love it. I don't love the whole franchise. Maybe I was too old when it came out, but that opening scene has to be, if not the greatest opening death, maybe one of the top 10 deaths ever. And that's Casey Becker, her death in Scream. When we first see Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Fabulous. You know, you're lured into a sense of comfort. Cause like, oh, Drew Barrymore's the star of this movie. Let's see where this goes. And then she doesn't get far.
Yeah. I mean, big surprise is that he's pulling a Psycho on you in the beginning and you don't even really notice at first. He really does surprise you with that.
Genius. And then the way she gets it is whoo.
Good stuff.
Unkind. How about you?
I'm going to go for your your favorite movie, a scene from your favorite movie. So, Annie's death in the parked car in the garage in Halloween. I mean, I don't really rate movies by kills. That's just not my taste, but
Agreed.
that is a brilliantly designed suspense moment, and it's really creepy. And she sells that death so well. She's
She
really good.
sure does. That one, for some reason, we talked about this when we talked about Halloween, but I like that one's like sad. And you know, it's just so visceral. Like the other ones are kind of like slasher, campy, fun and scary. Yes, but like that one is like because of
Yeah,
her, I think
it's
you're right. Yeah.
well, they make a great device out of it because of like her going back to, she goes to the car and then she doesn't have the
Yeah.
keys and then she goes into the house for, and there's like a whole minute and a half and then she comes back and the door's open, but she doesn't remember
Yeah.
that. And she gets in and we know
Right.
like, oh no,
She doesn't see it.
she
Yes.
doesn't recognize that.
And I
And then she
guess
sees the frosted, the windows have got the condensation
and
because
she
someone's
goes,
in there
huh,
breathing.
what the
Yeah.
heck? And then she
So,
realizes it's so
so
well done.
good.
And I'm just realizing this now as you're talking. She takes the longest though, it feels like, I don't know, just in my memory. But
Arguably spend more time with her because we see her on the phone a lot talking to her boyfriend and
yes.
stuff.
And then, like
So
you said, the whole coming back to the car, forgetting, it seems to drag on forever. And you know he's somewhere in that garage, but they just keep dragging it out. So good. All right. Who all time favorite horror? This is the gotta pick one question, they call it. You're going to that desert island, you got to take one horror movie with you. Tony, what's it gonna be?
I think I'm just gonna. I gotta be true to what I've already said. I think it's the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, I just have a lot of feeling for that movie. I can, and
Yeah.
I've just watched it so many times. I mean, there's others I could pick, but I kind of like it's very personal to me. So I don't know. I think it's that one.
Listen to me. Please listen. If you don't, if you won't, if you fail to understand, then the same incredible terror that's menacing me will strike at you!
I thought you might pick The Thing. That was my guess.
That was my runner-up.
Ah, yeah, good, good, good,
Yeah,
good.
that was my runner-up. But yeah.
I can't believe this. I until I did this exercise, I didn't think that this would be the case, but I'm gonna pick Halloween. I guess for me, you know, it's like It's a Wonderful Life type of thing. It's just the movie that kind of captures it all, from its soundtrack to its look, to it takes me to that world. It's comforting. Can you believe that? The Haddonfield,
It
Illinois is
is.
comforting to me,
It's
but
oddly like a Charlie
right?
Brown special
Yeah,
at this point.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I know that neighborhood so well. And on a Halloween night, if it's on TV in the background, I'm like, oh, it's Halloween. Which is like probably not the reaction you should have to that, but
Yeah, Haddonfield feels like we all grew up there.
yes.
You know,
Yes. It's a
even
time and
though it's
place.
Los Angeles,
Right.
this is
Right.
not supposed to
With
be.
bagged leaves that they kept throwing around us.
Yeah.
But you know, I think any child of the 70s, like we were also, like her room looks like my sister's room, you know, my teenage sister's, my older sister's room at the time. And it's just like
Yeah.
the whole thing, the whole thing.
No, it was hard for me not to pick it. It
Yeah.
really
Yeah.
was. But I didn't want both of us to do it. And
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about some movies that maybe we didn't get a chance to last Halloween. But we already talked about Invasion, so both of us are really stuck in our ways, clearly.
Yeah.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
I thought yours was going to be Midsommar, so I'm really
Ooh.
surprised.
Speaking of things that are maybe too much for me, my son Max is at college, as I mentioned, going to see him on Parents Weekend, and he's taking his first ever film class.
Oh, cool.
And his professor has written two, maybe three books, I think definitely two though, on horror.
Really?
And yeah, so one of her books is about horror post 9/11, and the other book that she's just released is a book about horror showing work, you know, and how that's changed over the years, like literally someone's job. And
Horror showing work. Oh, you mean someone's employment?
yes,
Oh,
exactly.
interesting.
Yes, like
Interesting.
literal their job. Think like kind of post World War II, what our jobs meant and how that ties into horror.
Oh, that's so cool.
They watched Hereditary. So I was really interesting to hear my 18-year-old son's reaction to that movie, which I didn't think
Wow.
he'd be able to handle.
Watching in school. Wow, that's a heavy movie for class.
Yeah, you know what he said to me? He said, I was more, it made me more sad than scared. It's a sad movie. And I said, wow, Max, you know what? There's a lot to that. Me, I was petrified.
But I was terrified of that movie. That was definitely something that was hard for me to, yeah, that was a tough one.
Well, it might come up again. Tony, are you ready for our
top three
scenes that we've been scared in theaters of all time on Halloween?
I think I'm ready.
Let's go.
I'm insecure, but I think I'm ready.
We'll see, bitch.
All right, Tony. So our top three, which we usually do as kind of the end of each episode as we focus on one film, is the kind of main format tonight, except we're looking at the top three times we were scared in a theater. Let's talk how you went about this list, what your criteria was.
I have broken into two categories, actually, with a couple of honorable mentions. So I picked three movies that the whole movie was something about the whole film or the whole experience of it really frightened me or was almost too much. Mm. And then I have another division of movies where there was one scene or a group of scenes that were really powerful, but the whole movie didn't necessarily make me think or, you know, create an atmosphere of horror that I really fell into. But so that's how I broke it down.
Okay. Yeah. So that sounds like that last one sounds like my aforementioned Scream, where it's like, wow, that scene was great, but the movie itself, I wasn't like a huge fan of the franchise or anything like that. Yeah, I just simply tried to be as visceral as I could, like really look back on my, you know, really look back on my history of being in a theater and when was I the most just like terrified overtly, like, oh, I can't handle this. And so these are the three that just sprung to mind. I tried to not repeat anything if possible, but stuff I've probably said before here on the podcast, movies I've mentioned before, because I didn't want to not pick those top three because I had mentioned them before, if that makes sense. Because if that were the case, I would have just announced them up front and then try to come up with three deeper ones, you know.
But right,
these are the three.
I did the exact opposite. I picked ones that I haven't mentioned before.
Okay, great. No, that's fine. Hey, it's your
list. Because I mean in a way you could say The Exorcist, or then that's fine, that's totally legitimate. But it, since everybody's frightened about it, I'm kind of more curious about what movie like spoke to you in a weirdly personal, weird way that you left the theater feeling like maybe other people didn't think it was the, you know, the scariest, but that for some reason it just haunted you.
Right.
But that's the case for The Exorcist too. I mean, even these big movies do that to you. I picked also movies that were, I was a little bit more mature than as a kid, because everything scared me when I was a kid. So
me too.
Like, you know, after 18 years old or something or whatever, when I was starting to be aware. But there's one movie that I saw in the theater earlier than that. It's a Peter Weir movie called The Last Wave.
Okay.
Which is a really, you know, slow boil, occult thriller about Armageddon, about the coming apocalypse.
Ooh.
And it takes place in Australia. And it really, it delves into the idea that we're going to have a wave come and just wash everything away. So it ties into kind of global warming fears now that we have now, but this movie came out in the 70s and it's really atmospheric and really, really, really moody and really creepy. And it gets you into the mindset of the main character who's obsessed with finding out some information behind these local occurrences that are going on. And it just has a really palpable atmosphere that freaked me out as a kid. I'll never forget it.
That reminds me a little bit of a movie I saw in college that stayed with me, although it wasn't a horror movie, although, and I've mentioned on the podcast before too, Dreams by Kurosawa. And he has his penultimate dream, I think, is like nuclear annihilation. And there's people who are like burnt, so they're jumping off a cliff. And it's just like, oh my God, that stayed with me forever. Like, oh, and then you see stuff in the news and you're just like, no, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And so it was a dream.
Cuts close to home.
Yeah. And it was a dream he had recurring through his life. So yeah, that's a good one. That's a real fear. That's like a visceral fear. That's not a make-believe monster. That's a real monster, you know?
Sure.
My number three, I'm cheating because I'm going to take two and one because they're basically the same scene. And I just kind of mentioned it, but it's the broad daylight classroom scenes in Hereditary and It Follows. These are both pretty recent. So I picked it in both occasions. I was in the theater alone in Manhattan, you know, taking a break in between auditions in the evening. Went to see these horror movies, all excited. And when Peter does that weird contortion with his arm in class and starts to, I literally wanted to leave the theater that I was all alone in. Like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't know what's happening. And it's so awesome and frightening. And then it follows. There's like a tracking shot, a pan, a slow pan. She's in classroom and you see a person. You kind of don't notice it at first. In fact, on her way into school, she sees someone that you kind of go, is that one of the monsters? Because they're moving weird. And then it goes away. And then you think, all right, she's in class. She's going to have a dream or something cliche typical. But no, it's this one of the It Follows things coming right at her in broad daylight in the middle of class. And it's like all the rules are broken. Like, wait a second. It's not supposed to happen like this. You know, there's supposed to be a cut away and this is a dream or something. But man, I was just thrilled and terrified by both those daylight classroom scenes.
That's a really effective moment in that movie. And the opening of that movie is pretty scary too. It has its moments for
sure. It does. It does. So that was my number three, kind of two in one, but hey, that's okay.
Okay. So you didn't break them up any more than this? Like no, into moments or
No, I just did times I was scared. I do have a ton of honorable mentions though. Okay. And like I said, the at home edition, I can do things I didn't see in the theater, but the most times I was scared watching something. So plenty more to come.
My number two for, in terms of like the whole movie experience, Zodiac.
Jeez, that's underrated scary movie, man.
Zodiac just, I was scared. I was just unnerved and uncomfortable and dreading what I was going to see like the whole time.
Yes.
And it has a few sequences in it that are legitimately terrifying. Like, And it kind of breaks from the procedural into a kind of full blown horror in a couple of sequences that are just horrible. But that whole movie, the dread and the sense that this evil character that you don't know if you meet or not, like it's like, where is he lurking? What is going on? And there's almost something supernatural about it, even though they never even mentioned that. That's a really, really effective movie. Great experience in the theater. It's like mesmerizing.
Fantastic. It's I feel like it's getting its due the more years that go on. It's one of those movies, right?
I think it's got its supporters.
Yeah, I see more and more people talking about it as years go on, like, hey, this movie was freaking amazing, you know.
So well done. Yeah.
It is, and it's the whole thing of like not knowing who the killer is, but you might have seen him or her. You don't know who this killer is, but you're right, there's like sense that it could be paranormal somehow, like some sort of devil demon controlled thing, but they don't ever go there.
Discussed. It's just this feeling. Yes. You know,
and the symbology.
He's like but he's also like somebody who's somehow haunted everybody's mind in the movies.
Yes,
like
he lives in
their minds now. And that was really scary. I love that. And of course there's a terrifying scene at the lake. That's like from a horror movie. Lake Berryessa sequence is terrifying. And
then when he's then alone
in the basement.
The basement. Forget about
with
it.
With Fleischer, with Roger Rabbit. Who thought that Roger Rabbit would be that terrifying?
That's straight horror right there. Yeah. Fantastic. Great pick. Let's go to number two. For me is I saw this movie when it came out in the theater. I don't remember who I was with, what year. Let me just check what year this movie came out, because if it's the year I think it did, I think I know who I was with. Release. Yep. Okay, it was. I saw, because I knew it was someone that did not want to be seeing it with me, as I remember, and they were so mad at me. It's 2002, and it was my beloved wife, my bride, Colleen, who does not like horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
We 99, 2001, 2002, we've been married at 2.5 years at that point or something. And I took her to see The Ring. And when that f-ing lady climbed out of the television, she wouldn't talk to me for about 3 days. She was so mad at me, first of all, Colleen. And I went like, oh no, it was kind of like, again, another amusement comparison, but if you take someone and ride, you go, no, it'll be fine, and then you're halfway through it like, oh, I really shouldn't have done this to them. Like, I was like, I'm sorry, because I can't handle this right now. Like, this isn't supposed to happen. The thing was supposed to stop inside the screen, and it's still going. Oh my god, I was so frightened.
It was great. It's great. It really You're was. Talking, I'm assuming, about The Ring, the American version, right?
Correct, yes.
It's actually a great remake.
Yes, I went subsequently and saw the original. And, you know, that's a great point you bring up, because that was happening for kind of a long time. That was like a budding filmmaking style, but I don't think a lot of Americans had seen that type of horror done in that style like that. So like the body
movements and stuff. Yes, I guess. Yeah. That was pretty new. The movie in that is scarier, I think, than the movie. The video in the ring is less scary than the one they made in the original Japanese one, I think.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh,
there's the tape you're not supposed to see.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that tape is terrifying.
That whole mythos of this tape that if you watch, you die. And that alone is. And then we were in the middle of that as a society. We're kind of transitioning out of videotape, and just fantastic. Just fantastic. I'll never forget that moment.
My number one in theater scare for me, I think I've got to give it to Lost Highway. So I'm going for David Lynch again. Lost Highway, I was right at the threshold of level of creep out before I was like, I don't know, I really feel unsafe. Like, I just felt unsafe, and I love feeling that way. I was glad to be manipulated that much. I loved it, but it really pushed my buttons, that movie. And there's something about the surreal quality of his films that are more frightening than any kind of realistic approach to horror now. I think we've all seen kind of documentary vibes, from horror movies in a long time. And there's so much like horror in the media.
Yeah.
But he has an internal thing that happens to his characters where the inside of their minds is really scarier than anything else. And you feel like you're in their minds in these films. And that one in particular, I just felt transported to a really bad place and typified by probably the single scariest moment to me in almost any movie.
My father, Robert Blake.
It's your father, Robert Blake. Yes.
People think because you're Arkin and that your dad was Alan Arkin, they think that Robert Blake was my father. I get that all the time.
It would make sense. You should just say that it's true.
Might start saying that.
Yeah.
He was not my father, everybody.
If you haven't seen this movie, there's a character that Robert Blake plays, like maybe the last thing he did before he went off the rails entirely.
What are you talking about? He forgot his gun in the restaurant. Tyler.
Sure, yeah. He plays a character who may or may not be Satan or the devil, or we don't really know, but he's not. Okay, he's not a good person to know. And he has this scene where he meets the main character, Bill Pullman, at a party and says, I'm at your house right now. And he's like, no, you're not. You're standing right in front of me. He goes, oh, yeah. And he says, call your house. And so Bill Pullman calls his house, and Robert Blake answers at his house while he's standing in front of him. Didn't want to be there for that moment. Like, literally was like,
yeah.
Creepiest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he has no eyebrows. They shaved his eyebrows off and he's terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying.
And that kind of like, I remember his face is kind of like white. Like,
yeah, he's got white pancake makeup on. He's
like holding that video camera. He's taping. Like,
oh boy.
David Lynch does that. Like, David Lynch is another one who will do like broad daylight scary stuff, like Mulholland Drive, like the creepy man who's just standing up.
Oh,
like,
God.
He'll just unsettle you. And it's like, wait a second. This isn't supposed to be happening. It's broad daylight. We're supposed to be safe in this diner, right?
That scene could have been I could have flipped right into that scene, because the behind the dumpster scene is at Winky's.
Terrifying.
Oh my God.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unexpected. And then it's like with him too, like he's not going to bend over backwards to explain it to you either. So it's like, you just got to deal with the imagery and make up your mind what's happening. And
And then, but I totally get that, because as a horror fan, you realize like, if you like the horror quality, explaining things is kind of anti-horror in a way. Like when 100%. Things make sense, they're less scary. So when things don't make sense, they're more frightening.
I told you I was here.
How'd you do that?
Ask me.
How'd you get inside my house?
You invited me. It is not my custom to go where I'm not wanted.
Who are you?
Which is a perfect segue to my number one. I think if you listen to the show regularly, this will not be a surprise to you at all. But it's just the most frightened I ever was in a movie theater, and it's not really even close. And that's the final scene of Blair Witch when Heather discovers Mike standing in the corner. Like, that image, the traumatic screams of him standing still in the corner after the legend was told that the kids were forced to stand in the corner. It was like a cherry on top of my terror. with her screaming, it just kept ratcheting up. I was disturbed by an earlier scene of people you know are dead, basically screaming for them in the forest. That kind of set me like, oh, this is different. This is uncomfortable. And by the way, when I saw it, we weren't quite sure what was real and what wasn't at that time. People were going like, no, dude, it's just a movie. Like, I don't know, man. It's found footage. You don't, part of it's made up, but part of it's real. And there was that conversation going on. So when he was in that corner, I literally, I just wanted to leave. Her screaming stops abruptly. Credits come up and no one moved. No one moved in the theater. We were all just paralyzed like he was in the corner. And man, I just think that is a moment I'll never forget.
Me too. I mean, look, it was hard not to pick it. It really was, because it was, you know, one of the big ones for me in theater, and also in a crowd.
Yeah.
Like, that's an incredible experience to have with a group of people.
Yes.
To be just in the same state of absolute freak out. 28 Days Later is an honorable mention there too. I mean, that experience was pretty unnerving in the theater. For scenes for me, I have a few just that I got to mention, just because they didn't existentially scare me the way that a great, like, for me, a totally perfect horror movie will.
I just wanted to follow up on one thing you said, because it's a point you made, and I think it's really incredible. And that is the lack of explanation. And that scene, that's part of why it killed me, because I was so frightened by its image. And like, what's he doing? Why isn't he moving? Oh, God. And it only occurred to me very late into that process. Oh, shit. This is what she made the children do. Just because you know that fact, like, who the hell's the witch? And what the hell? And how does she do this? And where is she? None of that is
exactly true. It's very David Lynch, the way they handle that.
Yes. Yeah. It's so well done. So anyway, I just want to follow up on that point you made.
Absolutely.
That's what made it so viscerally horror. Like, if they had shown her or tried to explain it more, it wouldn't have been as good.
Underappreciated movie. I think it should be a Criterion release if it isn't already.
Awesome. Honorable mentions.
A shout out to some movies that did it to me, like in moments. Like, honestly, Death Proof. Tarantino's part of that, you know, Rodriguez and Tarantino movie.
Yes.
Fun. I think it's a really entertaining movie. It's great. But when they were gearing up for that car wreck, I didn't think I wanted to be there. I really was like, I don't think that's going to be easy to watch. And man, is it not easy to watch. It's right. One of the most horrific things ever filmed. And the lead up to it, he gives you an ample time to get out of the theater. He's like, you might want to leave. Tarantino's right. Like, you might want to get out of here.
Time to go.
And you have time. And then you're like, damn, I should have left. So that really freaked me out.
You're going to see Kurt Russell as you've never seen him before, baby.
A movie that generally I find very warm and I don't find terrifying. There are scenes in Donnie Darko when I saw it in the theater.
Oh my God, I almost put that with the freaking bunny just standing
in the
there.
In the movie theater with the rabbit. And that stuff freaked me out. That was seriously really effective in the
theater.
That's
a scary movie, in a lot of ways. Good call.
And Annihilation has a scene in it, which a movie I didn't love, but... There, did you see it?
Annihilation.
I
think so. When she goes into the... Yes, I did. That's a pretty recent movie. Yes.
Yeah, it's about this group of women soldiers and scientists who go in to try to see this weird anomaly that's happening, and no one's able to come out of this weird terrain.
Right.
And so it tracks them inside, and everything's going wrong. Like, the genetics are all crazy, and creatures are growing other creatures, and it's weird. Do you remember the bear attack scene? That's probably my number one wish I wasn't here. I really didn't want to see what I was seeing. It was so awful. And again, sound design. It was this bear who had eaten one of her friends. But because of that, her friend had become genetically melded with this bear. But in the moment of her terror, so as she was being eaten and still alive, that moment crystallizes. So every sound that the bear makes has got her voice in it.
Her voice. Yeah, that is terrifying. I forgot all about that movie.
Didn't want that to be happening.
Well said.
You have honorable mentions?
I have, yeah, a bunch. So Danny Boyle's Sunshine, and there's a scene where he keeps getting an update from the computer of how many people are on board the craft. And at one point it just goes, there are two organisms. And he's like, he knows it's just him. And he goes, repeat. It's like, there are two organisms on the moon. I was like, oh no. So well good. Done.
And then it turned into be a sunbeam monster. And I was a little disappointed. And then
I agree. I just brought this up again, Hereditary. It was in my top three picks, but the scene where Toni Collette's in the corner of the ceiling, I wanted to leave the theater at that point.
Oh God.
Terrifying. I heard a girl in front of me discover it. And I was like, what is she screaming about? She's like, oh, God. And I'm like, what am I missing? It was dark. And I was like, oh. She's like,
that's
a spider out there.
So well designed. Because you're in the theater and the screams start happening is all over the place. But some people don't know what's going on yet. Oh, it's so great.
Relic, the movie. It's a horror movie, but it's really about disease and mental disease and losing our parents and all that. But there's a scene where in Relic, where the mom, who's frightening throughout the whole movie, is kind of walking at the daughter, but it's her hair is reversed. Like, so you think it's one side of her and it's not. I don't want to give it away because it's so, when you first see it, you think the mom is walking in a certain way naked and it's kind of not what you think. That's all I'll say. Relic, a really good, I think, Australian movie.
Interesting. I don't know if I know this movie.
Yeah, like Edma, I think, is the mom, and she's got. Man, you saw it at the spoiler alert. Turn it off if you don't want to hear this. It's an analogy for Alzheimer's, basically.
Thank you. I did see.
Yes,
Relic.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought at first you were talking about that the monster movie, The Relic.
No, this is Emily Mortimer, Robin Niven, Relic, 2020 drama. About her mother, basically an elderly mom who's ostensibly has Alzheimer's. And then it's a very smart movie, really, really well done, kind of under the guise of a horror movie and how we don't understand what's happening to our parents when they sometimes go through.
I'm remembering this now. It's a really good one.
Oh, it's great. Let's see. Sixth Sense, when the girl pukes in the tent. I remember I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get through this movie. Seven, What's in the Box? Is that might be more suspense than horror, but when that freaking van was heading to the scene, I was literally on the edge going like, what is in that freaking van right now?
That's a deeply uncomfortable movie. The whole movie's very skeevy and sketchy and makes you creeped out, all of it.
I was thinking about that during, what was your choice? You were talking about the atmosphere. Zodiac and Seven are kind of underrated. Scary moment was The Others, the kind of final seance scene. That movie has a great creepy atmosphere.
I have to revisit that one.
Really good. Really good. Nicole Kidman. She lives in a remote mansion, two children, post-World War II, waiting for her husband to return home.
Right. Yeah, I saw it. I remember. I need to see it again.
Recently, the movie Us, when that family was standing in the driveway and he's going, hey, I'm going to call the cops. They don't move. And then he just slowly backs away. And next thing you know, they're in the house whispering at them. I really was thrilled by that whole sequence. That like 5-minute sequence when they first get invaded by this doppelganger family and Us terrified me. And my at home edition, these are movies that I didn't see in the theater, but just scenes that just stay with me where I can't even believe how scared I was your actually Black Christmas, Billy's Calls. When I first saw that,
come on, right?
I mean, there's nothing weirder than that.
It's so much freakier than you think. A movie like this, Canadian movie from the 76 or 7, whenever, it's like, he's so much freakier than you think it's gonna be. He's one of the most unhinged character depictions like you ever heard in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. The Fourth Kind is an alien abduction movie that I didn't see in the theaters. I saw with friends one night and then had to drive through like upstate Connecticut through the woods alone after that. And I don't think I've ever been that viscerally frightened after seeing a movie. So that kind of counts, because I was just like looking up like, please don't abduct me, demons.
Yeah.
That movie's up.
Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, has got to be on the list for home terror. I didn't see it in the theater, but holy God.
Horrible.
I saw it like right when it came out on video. And at the time, nothing had happened like that movie.
Right.
Like, when Henry came out, if you're into that kind of movie, it's serial killer, it's very scary.
Yeah.
If you don't know it, see it, because yeah, so much has been based on that movie that it'd be real interesting for people to see where a lot of things originated. Michael Rooker is one of the great scary characters in that movie.
I have to add in as an at-home addition, because I just simply was not around when it was in theaters. So the first time I saw it was somewhere at home. I don't remember how or what on VHS, but The Exorcist, the tape recorder scene when he's listening back, that's the one that got me when I was a kid, when I first saw it for some reason. Like, yes, she was scary and all that was scary, but the one that I couldn't handle, I had to look away and not watch it, is when he's alone in his apartment listening to her tapes. And the Latin she was speaking, and he kept rewinding. I'm like, please stop this. I was like 12 or something. I'm like, please shut this off, somebody.
Because it's so real, isn't it? Yes. It just seems like a documentary at that point.
And that makes me think of a movie that we both love, and we've mentioned a few times in this podcast, the wildly underrated Session 9.
Oh, man.
They borrowed that scene when he finds the tapes. I mean, I sometimes think the whole movie's concept was born of that scene from The Exorcist. What if someone found these tapes that are just horrifying, you know?
Session 9, classic. If you haven't seen it, please. It's one of these little gems from the 90s where people were making really cheap movies on video for the first time. Doesn't look great. It's actually really well shot, but it's practically a consumer camera by today's standards.
Yes.
Like, when did Session 9 come out? Session 9 was
90s.
Like,
yeah. Like 90s, 96 maybe.
You ever see Kill List?
I don't think so.
Kill List is a movie similarly.
One Session 9 came out 2001.
Kind of independent.
Okay,
very small film from UK by this great director, Ben Wheatley, who did that movie In the Earth that we saw for the show.
I did see Kill List. Yeah, see, sometimes I say no, and then I have seen this. Yeah, this is a Ben Wheatley movie. I love this. Yes, 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 yes.
Freaking terrifying and great. Yeah. Yep. Really disturbing. Tread with caution. You know, tread with caution on a lot of these folks, because some of these really try to push the boundaries, and this is one of them, but man, is that a good movie.
One I forgot in my honorable mentions that must be mentioned, because everything we kind of did, or at least certainly my list, is like you said, also we were a little older, but if I could go back to my childhood, I did go to the theater. So what, 82, I was 11, 71 to 82, I was like 11 or so. And I saw Poltergeist with friends at the mall. And that whole clown sequence during the thunderstorm was a little bit more than I could take. And I never told my friends this, but I kind of like put my head down, like looked
at
it. Yeah.
I saw it in the theater too. I'm a little older than you are. And some of that was too much for me too. I was like, because it hit like older teens hard too, because they were like, I'm tough, I could take it. They can't. Poltergeist ripped them apart. But the steak scene, even as goofy as it is, that guy brings a steak out. And then he rips his face off. That face ripping scene, thank you, Toby Hooper, because you just wrecked a very pleasant weekend for me as a kid. That freaked me out, too.
So great.
But I'm old enough. I mean, I saw Alien in the theater. I saw that was bad. That was scary. Shouldn't have been there as a, 9-year-old?
Nope.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, I saw The Shining too young, which I've told that on this podcast before, too. And, like, you know what's funny? Of all the horrible, this is actually interesting. Given this topic, it's funny that kind of the not super famous scenes, the ones that scared me, like it wasn't him bursting through with the axe. I mean, that all was scary. The scene that wrecked me, when Danny has the psychic vision and he's connected to Scatman Crothers and he's kind of drooling, and then they show Scatman Crothers in bed with the naked lady above him. He's got that look on his face. Like, that whole sequence was too much for my, it was like literally inappropriate that I saw it at that age. You know what I mean? And it haunted me. Like, it honestly f***ed me up for like a long time.
Not surprised.
Couldn't get Scatman Crothers' face out of my head.
Yeah, I agree. It is those quieter moments, you know. And for me, as the older I get, it's really those quieter movies that I find terrifying. And I don't mean like, you know, I'm not I don't I do enjoy a good, well-constructed jump scare. It's kind of boring, but fine, they're great. You know, big operatic moments of horror. They're not really scary. They're more, you know, kind of entertaining or even funny. But some of these films, you know, that I didn't even used to consider horror, even like some of these European art films play like horror movies, like Persona. You know, have you ever seen Persona or you know, the Virgin Spring, or you know, these are Bergman movies that are like these heavy art dramas, but you
But
watch them
they're
again and you're
creep.
like, they're actually supernatural horror, but they're just really slow and really quiet, and they work on you, on your subconscious, which I really love. I love that quality and like
Well,
slow burn horror movies.
the Seventh Seal is actually scary, like straight up scary. Yeah, man. Yeah, scary stuff. All right, so that's actually a great segue into a question I want to end with you is Halloween recommendation from you. It could be something new or something that you want people to revisit. Like, what's a good, because you know, this is the time people are going to hear this on Halloween. Maybe the trick-or-treaters are gone. They want to pump
Any
a horror
and look,
movie.
any of the movies that we mentioned, I think we can vet. You know, we can vouch for, but I'll just pick something I saw recently that I liked.
Good.
Have you seen Talk to Me yet?
With the kids with the, no, I have not. Nope. I saw the trailer for it.
It works, my friend. It is worth it. Please check it out.
Okay. And I will recommend that you not watch something scary and that you go to mass, go to confession. Don't celebrate any demons, anyone.
I
Just
probably need it.
go with good old-fashioned slashers, no demons. How about that?
I don't, I, that doesn't, it's not comforting.
Tony, would you please make the announcement of how we are going to proceed? I think you should announce it because although it's we both came up with it, by both I mean you completely alone, I think you should announce it.
Okay, this sounds like I've revamped the show. It's not true. I haven't wouldn't do that. It's just a new segment that I'm excited about, and I told the boss today about it, and the boss was like, "Let's go for it. Let's try this."
Will you give me her number, by the way?
Yeah.
Her
She doesn't want to talk
boss.
to you, but
Copy. Okay. Yep.
through me right now, just for the next couple of weeks while she's getting used to the show.
Duly noted.
I have this idea that we do like the countdown, well actually count up, the count up of all time. I want to go really farther than any podcast ever dared to go ever before.
Yes.
And I want to do every year starting in 1930, every year the top three paranormal supernatural themed movies from that year. And I want to do every, not decade, because that's too easy. And this ensures that you will do a show for a while, because we've got only what, hundreds now in front of us. That's the new segment idea,
I think it's
starting with
fantastic.
1930, and we just keep working up.
I love it.
Great. All right, cool, fantastic. Everybody's got a lot of homework now. That's the
I
bad
know.
news.
I know. Tony, we also have some unfinished business. We were supposed to cover Evil Dead Rise 2023's kind of redo of Evil Dead. Bruce Campbell is involved, plays the priest. So we are going to do that next episode, as well as our new top three feature starting in the 30s and probably a regular top three in there too. And Tony, we will review Evil Dead Rise. We just had to throw out this Halloween episode in the meantime because it had been too long and it's Halloween and we love Halloween.
We do. Happy Halloween, brother. I hope you have a great time. I
You
know you're
too.
not, you missed the parade, but
I did.
tell me, you know, let text me what you do. Text me something that you're doing. Send me a picture of the movie you watch.
Well, I will. And I'm also going to dress up tomorrow for my little radio show I do here in New England. So I will send you a picture of my costume. Not scary, but
Okay.
it's actually very movie themed. I'm a movie character.
You're not going to tell me what it is?
Actually, I can because by the time this is released, it's actually going to be past the time that I wore it. I'm going to be
You're going to be both Seals and Croft.
too soon. Guy just died.
Did he? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's terrible. Died. Cut that out of the show.
No. Was it Seals or Crofts? Yeah, one of them died.
Well, that's even better. You could do Seals, the one who's alive, and then the ghost of the other guy.
Tony, tomorrow I'll be dressed as Tony D'Annunzio. Most people, if they're going to do a Caddyshack costume, would do Danny Noonan or they do the Bill Murray character. But I'm going to do Tony. You might remember he had the cutoff sleeves and the black hair and the cigarette.
Well, I hope people know who that is. I'm not going to dress as anything. I'm going to go as a curmudgeonly guy from Brooklyn.
Hey, if the mask fits, wear it.
Right? Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy. We will be back soon with that. Evil Dead Rise. We hope you all have a happy Halloween, a safe one. Enjoy. Get spooky for a day. It's great fun.
Give me a Coke. One Coke. Hey, wait a minute. That's only 50 cents.
Yeah, Lou raised the price of Coke. He's been losing it to track.
Well, I ain't paying no 50 cents for no Coke.
You ain't getting no Coke.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Rated P for Paranormal. Please rate, review, and share. It really does make a difference. On social media, we're at Rated Paranormal. All music is by Andrew Goldens Jr. You can find him on Instagram at Kid Riga or go to therocketscience.bandcamp.com. This podcast was created, written, produced, and edited by Maddie Blake and Anthony Arkin.
I like comedy in my bloodshed.
That's not comforting.